S&P futures are sitting at 7,687 this morning, down about 4.25 points, or roughly a tenth of a percent, essentially flat, which reflects a market that's watching several concurrent geopolitical and economic signals without making a decisive directional bet. The overnight session has been remarkably calm given the volume of news flow, which tells you that traders are treating most of today's stories as noise rather than signal for equity prices.
The Druckenmiller piece is the financial market story with the longest tail, I think, even though it doesn't have an immediate price impact. When a macro investor of his stature uses AI to write a published opinion piece attacking Treasury's fiscal posture, and then discloses that afterward, it raises a question that financial media hasn't had to answer before. Does it matter? Should attribution to AI be disclosed in financial commentary the same way? Say, a short position in a company should be disclosed before you publish bearish analysis of that company.
My view is that it should, and for a specific reason. When investors read commentary from someone like Druckenmiller, part of what they're paying attention to is his reasoning process, the way a mind that has successfully navigated multiple market cycles is interpreting a given situation. If the reasoning is AI-generated, you're not actually getting Druckenmiller's analytical process. You're getting his prompt and his name attached to an AI output. Those are meaningfully different things, and readers who don't know the difference may be making decisions on a false premise.
The underlying Besant critique, whatever its authorship, touches on something that is genuinely debated in serious economic circles right now. Treasury has been managing a period of elevated interest costs on federal debt, and there are real questions about the sustainability of the current fiscal trajectory. Druckenmiller has been one of the more vocal critics of U.S. deficit spending over the past several years. Whether his AI-generated op-ed will carry the same weight as his previous handwritten analyses is itself a kind of market test of whether authorship credibility survives AI disclosure.
The El Niño story has direct financial market implications that I want to flag. NOAA's 95% probability estimate for a super El Niño this fall is not a weather forecast in the way most people think about weather. A super El Niño of the magnitude they are describing, potentially the strongest since at least 1946, has predictable agricultural, insurance, and infrastructure impacts that get priced into commodity markets and insurance derivatives. California is specifically mentioned for coastal flooding risk, which translates to actuarial exposure for property and casualty insurers operating in the state. Agricultural commodity markets in the Pacific Basin will be affected by changes in rainfall patterns across Peru, Indonesia, and Australia. This is a macroeconomic variable that tends to be underweighted in equity market conversations until the disruption arrives.
And it's worth noting that a stronger El Niño interacting with the baseline climate shift of the last decade produces outcomes that historical models may underestimate. The last super El Niño on record, 1997 to 1998, caused an estimated $35 billion in global economic damage. Climate scientists are suggesting the 2026 event could be materially more severe, both because of its inherent intensity and because it's layered on top of a warmer baseline ocean temperature. The insurance market is going to have a difficult autumn.